Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
Are ready to hear your word? We're ready to receive your word, and we are ready to live your word. Because I have been chosen for victory and not for defeat, for health and not for sickness, for prosperity and not for poverty, because I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Come on, if you believe that today, church. Come on, do you believe that today? All over the chat, in Zoom, YouTube, Facebook. Woo, come on. How are you doing this fine morning, everybody? My God is good. Come on, the presence of God is all over this place, over there in your home. You must believe this. This is not simply connection, it's congregation. You are at church in your living room, but you're at church, and you know what? We're waiting for you here. Come on, just take that leap of faith, knowing that we are safe, but that we're using our faith as well, and God is doing something in our midst. It is a new season, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many are you expecting for the word of God to hit your hearts today? Come on. You may be seated over there at home, like Pastor says, get comfy, but get aware, because God's going to speak to you. And you know, man, I just want to honor Pastor David for just a minute, because I think, you know, it is very hard, guys, to lead a church. To lead a congregation. I'm telling you, I've been walking with Pastor David and Penny for over 17 years now. And there's so many challenges. One of the things I admire of our pastor is the incredible capacity to display his faith in moments such as this. And, you know, as I hear what we've been talking, this series, I know that God spoke into his heart, and I want to tell you, don't take that easy. That is God speaking to us, that we are living in a land that is without doubt sick, but that you and I have been called to humble ourselves, come on, to repent, to go back to God in prayer, like we learned last week, that prayer might come to you and to me first as a discipline. But you and I must believe that as we perfect the discipline, it will shift into a desire. That you and I can come before God, because we know prayer is power. And that God can move whatever he needs to move in your home, in your heart, in our community. And I love this series. I really do. Because it not only takes us to the understanding that we are the church, and that we've been called to heal our land, but it tells us how to do it. And I love that action step. I really do. And I think God today is going to take us even into another level. Because you and I need to understand something. When it comes to our relationship with God, there is always more. If you think you're in a good place with God right now, I am so glad. But I tell you right now, there is more. If you feel that you're away from God right now, good news for you. There is more. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And as we go through this Healing a Sick Land series, and the verse that has given us the foundation of all these conversations on Sunday, 2 of Chronicles, and I just want to revisit it really quick as we dive into today. 2 of Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You'll have it there in just a second. He says, if my people who are called by my name, don't forget that you're called by God's name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I can't wait for that teaching next week. then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Today, we're going to focus in seeking God's face. Anybody married on the chats? Anybody married here in the room? Okay. All right. So I'm not sure if you've ever been to one of those like bridal showers or you've been into one of those like, I don't know, weird like couple meeting. I don't know. Whatever. They have a game in one of those. I'm not sure if you've seen this or you've lived this. There is a game where they ask all the ladies, the married ladies, to get in a line, right? So they get in a line and they ask the ladies to put their hands to the front like this. And they ask them to take all the accessories and stuff like that. So you put, and then they grab one guy and they blindfold them. It's a trap. Don't ever play that. I hate the game, by the way, but it's a great example. So what you do is you get blindfolded, and then the dynamic of the game is that you need to go hand by hand. How weird is that? Touching people's. Okay, whatever. And you go hand by hand touching the hand of the married lady, right? Like, who comes out with this stuff? Don't play that stuff. And then you go like that until, and you gotta guess who your wife is. Last time I played this game, oh God. I really don't like to play it because it puts you in a very complex situation. What if you don't guess your wife's hands? Now, let's be honest all here. Like, you don't meet people by their hands. That's awkward. Like, it's like, wow, what a beautiful set of hands you have. My God, look at your fingers. Wow, so pretty. Bro, nobody gets to know people by their hands. That's actually awkward. Okay, so, the result of that game, I think I guessed it last time. I don't really recall right now, or maybe she hit me so hard that I don't recall the result because maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. I don't really remember right now, okay? But I know something. If you will take the blindfold out of me, I don't need to see the hands. I just need to see my wife's face and go, oh, yeah, that's my wife right there. Because we can get to recognize faces. You know, oftentimes our relationship with God gets based on his hands, on what he can do for us, instead of his face. I can't get to know Steph better by by her hands and do a study of her hands, but I am so used to her face that even if she has a mask on, who cares? The mask represents the season. I don't care. I will still recognize Steph because of her face. And I think this invitation that we get here today by Solomon is exactly that. It's like, it's great to go to God because the verse is telling us to pray. Come on. Prayer, it's like so foundational. It is essence. We have to come as children and ask for God. We really have to. But say with me, there is more. And then he goes like, seek my face. And I pray today that you and I can get the revelation that day after day after day, as we seek God, we focus on seeking him face to face. And you might be asking right now, what does that mean? What does it mean to seek God face to face? I know that it might sound a little bit mystical, right? It's like, well, what do you mean? Like, is God going to show up or something? Like, no. Remember that you and I are not called to have a religion with God. We're called to have a relationship with God. You and I have the possibility and the access through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross to be able to encounter God face to face. To face, to have proximity. This is communication we're talking. This is relationship we're talking. That when you are in a season, that you look around and it's like, that's my God right there. Maybe he ain't moving right now. Maybe I don't see the miracle right now, but you and I can't rely on miracles. We can't rely on God's hands. We got to rely on his face and who he is. And if we're going to talk about that, I think that there's some characters in the Bible that display this relationship face to face with God so good that will teach us and encourage us to do the same in a season like what we're living right now, which we are listening to so much communication from every front. It's election year, so what can I tell you? There's so much that we're being literally poured on and ground pound on. It's like communication after communication. What do I believe? Like I don't even know anymore. I really don't know. I think the invitation that we receive today is that if we seek God and if we have a relationship with him, I want to tell you, he's going to speak to you. And I know that maybe you're listening to this right now. What do you mean God's going to speak to me? Yes, God's going to speak to you because a relationship is formed by two or more people, not one. God doesn't work with monologues. No, it's a full-on conversation. But sometimes in our head, that doesn't match because we can't see God. But that you can't see God doesn't mean that God is not there. And God is close, and I tell you, God is present, and he wants to relate with you. And I really love the example of David in Psalms chapter 27. I love these verses. Verse 7 and 9, you're going to have it on screen so we can read it together. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." It has an exclamation mark. "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Verse 9 says, "Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Oh, you have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not. O God of my salvation." My God. I don't know about you, man, but I read these verses and I see a genuine expression of a relationship. Like I see David and I see these verses. Man, I want to talk to God like that. I want to come before you, before God, and goes like, "God, man, you told me to seek your face and I want to seek your face. So here I am. And God, I love you. And God, I worship you. And God, I want to spend time with you. I want to hang out with you. Let's have coffee together." Like if you see the Psalms, most of them written by David, and you see the expression of his relationship with God, it's like a love relationship. But you and I have been called exactly for that. And the title of this message, it's very simple, but it's a statement. It is time to seek God's face. It's time to seek God's face. I want to say that with me all over the chat. Write it down. It is time. It is time. Yes, to seek God's face. Say it again. It is time to seek God's face. Come on, say it with me. It's my time to seek God's face. Come on. Just like David did, we need to do the same thing. How can I seek the face of God? Well, there's another beautiful example in the Bible, and it's Moses. My God. I don't know about you, but the story of Moses is just a beautiful, beautiful display of God and our relationship with him. I want to read this verse to you. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 says, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting." Say with me, tent of meeting. "And everyone who sought the Lord will go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp." Okay, this is amazing. Okay, Moses, the leader, had a relationship with God and he had designated a place of meeting. I love that. Literally, he's like, all right, we're gonna go meet with the Lord. And outside, and I love the fact that it says far away from the camp, far away from distraction, far away from the busy life, far away from worry, far away from everything that we do, our dynamics, everything that goes through, far away. Now, you might be asking, far away, like to another place? No, but I think that you and I can create a tent of meeting in our rooms. You and I can create a tent of meeting in our backyard, in our bathrooms, in our closets. Because it doesn't need to be that physical place. I'm going to the mountains to pray to the Lord. Well, that's great, but let's be realistic, you and I. When are we going to do that? But yes, we can open a space just like Moses did. And it's very interesting that said that when people wanted to be close to God, they will go there. Because before, the presence of God was limited to a box, to a tent. But because of Jesus and the sacrifice that he did for you and for me, the veil was broken, was ripped apart, and God's presence is with us everywhere we go. There is no limit for you and now, for you and me to seek God face to face. And verse 11 in that same chapter of Exodus 33 says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speak to his friend. Come on, if that doesn't tell your relationship, I don't know what's going to tell your relationship. He will speak to God face to face, like a friend does. Wow. When Moses turned again into the camp, I love this, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, will not depart from the tent. Notice this. Moses will go in the tent. Joshua will stay outside the tent. Moses will go back to the camp to perform the duties and the calling that God has placed upon your life. Because I'm telling you, when you and I seek God face to face in a relationship, he's going to speak to you and he's going to reveal his plans to you so that you can go and do it. But the Bible says that Joshua will stay outside the tent. Like, it's like, what's happening inside? You know, it's like Moses is in there. Is God speaking to him? Wow, smell the oil. Oh my goodness, this is so amazing. Moses, where are you going? Moses, oh, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. No, I'm just going to stay here. Oh, I'm not inside. You know what? Maybe I'm not ready to go inside yet. I was asking to the Holy Spirit, what could that represent for you that are listening right now? I think so many oftentimes you and I think that the presence of God is just for a few. Oh, the pastors and the leaders. Oh, they are the ones that are closer to God. We said it last time. How many times I get told, oh, can you please pray because you're closer to God? Maybe because I'm taller. Right? Like, maybe I breathe a different air up here. And I see Joshua, maybe by culture and by rule, he could not go in there. Okay, I get you. But he chose to be as close as he could from the presence of God. And guess who became the leader after? And guess who could go in after? Joshua. I have a message for you from the Holy Spirit. If you feel that you're not worth it, because of what you've done, I want to tell you that you're wrong. I want to tell you that God's redemptive work through you and in you gives you access to the tent. God is just waiting for you. Someone needs to know this. God is waiting for you to enter in the creative space that you choose to be your tent of meeting. Right there, so that you can seek him face to face. You know, our life of prayer is critical, But with God, there's always more. Seeking God face to face, it's having an intimate relationship with Jesus. If you keep reading the dynamic of Moses, so good. Verse 18 through 20 says, Moses said, God, please show me your glory. What? And then God answered him, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. Verse 20 says, but he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Now, this might be a bit confusing for all of us right now, because if we're talking to see God face to face, and God just literally told Moses, you can't see me face to face, but we just read that he said that he used to talk to him face to face. What? What's going on here? I love the attitude of Moses. I love the attitude of Joshua. Moses is saying, I want more. I've seen your glory. I've seen your miracles. I've seen the pile of fire. I've seen the cloud. I've seen you getting us out from captivity. You've seen that in your life. You've seen how Jesus has worked in your life. You've seen how he redeemed you from your sin and gives you access to his presence. But there is more. And Moses shows there is more. I love your miracles. I love your hands, but I want to get to know you by your face. I want to be close to your heart. Moses is saying, show me your glory. And then God said, I can't show you my physical face because you're going to die. Like, you know, literally, you're going to die. But there's something very powerful in this. Because if Moses used to speak to him face to face, who was Moses talking to? Who is the manifested God? Who is the person of the Trinity that God allowed for us to see? He has a name, and his name is Jesus. Look at this verse. I know some of you are looking at me like, what? Was Jesus in the tent? Jesus was in the creation of the world. The Bible says in John that the birth has been since the beginning. The Word of God, Jesus. Look at John chapter 1:18. No one has ever seen God, come on, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. When I tell you and the Bible tells you to seek God face to face, what I am telling you is to have a relationship with Jesus that is not just based in a prayer, but it is fully based in a constant relationship that grows and grows and grows, that has his highs and his lows because he's perfect, but we're not. For many years, I follow the faith of my parents. And maybe you're here on the same note as I was. And I will go to church and I will sit down at church and I will listen to the pastor. And it's like, that's good. And then my dad will go like, what a powerful word. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was holding on to their faith until I had a revelation from Jesus. And I chose to be. How do you do that? Remember that I told you that everything starts as a discipline, but it becomes a desire? You just keep showing up. You know what Moses used to do? You keep showing up. Oh, but I don't feel it. You don't need to feel it. You need to believe it. That if you're in the room, God is in the room. That if you have set time apart for God, not just to ask him, but to be with him, God is there. It's like an appointment. Literally. And you see Moses, and you see the story, but then you see Jesus. And you see the example of how Jesus pulled it off. Wow! The relationship with God. Say with me, there is more. Say with me, it is time to seek God's face. So how do I do it? Well, Matthew 6, he says, it's so good. You get in your room and you close the door.
Get in the room.
You might not have the worship team. I do. It's just an example. But you might have your phone, right? Just put your phone. And you're right there. You are away from the camp, though. Hello. You're away from the distraction. Yeah. You're away from whatever can interrupt that conversation. And then you're just there. And then you can close your eyes and you know that Jesus is there. And that you're about to have a conversation with Him that probably is going to include prayer. Of course, you have God in there. Jesus is right there. How are we not going to ask Him for His children? Of course, but there is more. There is a deeper understanding of our relationship. I have a relationship with my wife. I have friends. Do you, Pastor? I thought you were... No, I have friends. And when I sit down with them, I just not ask them and ask them. I ask them for stuff, for prayer. But we have a sense of deeper community, of deeper relationship. If we have that with people, what will make us think that we can't have that with God? Ah, come on. Hold on a second. That's the original design, by the way. Adam will walk in the garden and he will talk to God. So you're just right there. And you're closing your eyes. And you acknowledge that the presence of God is in your tent. Jesus is sitting down right next to you, about to have a moment, a conversation that is not mystical. It needs to become normal for us. And then you just see, and you can say, this is holy, this is holy. Lead us holy, you are holy, God. And you can say, you are holy, you are holy, God. You are with me, you are with me. Upon your name, yes, Lord, I call upon your name, Jesus. God, it's been such a hard day today. You know, this happened at work, and I don't really know how to react. But my boss said that. It really offended me because he saw me less. But then your word, God, I know he says that I should honor him. But how can I honor that guy? Look at what he's doing, man. It's not right. But you know what? I choose God. It hurts, but you know what? I choose to believe your word. Because you're a good God. I just want to take a moment to remind myself how incredibly big you are, how amazing you are, God. Man, but you know what? I am exhausted. I am so tired, God. I'm so tired. But I know that in you I find rest. God, can you fill me with your presence today as we have this conversation? Thank you for being with me. Thank you for constantly knocking on my door so I can let you in. If we will just seek His face a tiny bit more. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know that too. Just open that space and that time. I know it's hard because your wife is like, yo. And your kids are like, yo. And your mom and your dad is like, where are you? You know what I do when I go visit friends and have coffee with them? I tell my wife, I'm going to go have coffee with Denzel. So my wife knows that I am having coffee with Denzel. She'll call me if there's an emergency. But she respects the space because I'm having a conversation with a friend. Well, you can tell the same to your parents. You can tell the same to your spouse. You can say, hey, I'm going to have my time with God. What? Yes, I'm going to go seek Him face to face. I'll be back in 20. I don't know. Why not, right? I think they'll respect that space. And the fact that God is waiting for that date. Right there with your eyes closed, I need you to acknowledge Jesus is with you right now. I know we're in a public setting, but may this be a practice ground for you. That when you go home, He is waiting in your room. That when you go back to your safe place, He is waiting for you. How did I jump from having to follow my parents' faith to have my own? Like that. I will get in that room. I wouldn't feel a bit. I didn't know what to say. I felt unqualified to be in there. But you know what? I remained. I was Joshua one day. Sitting next to the tent. Just listening to Moses' prayer. Oh man, but today you and I have the access to the tent. Because we can make that tent anywhere. Anywhere you go. And I want to encourage you to seek God. It is time to seek God face to face. And I am telling you, He's going to speak to you. And the Bible says that God will reveal the plans to Moses. He's going to reveal the plans. You don't know what to do in your life? Go seek God face to face. Are you confused with something? Go seek God. He's going to speak to you. You don't know what to do with the situation that's happening in your household? Go seek God face to face. He's going to speak to you. Take the time. Take the time. I'll say that one more time. Take the time to close the door and get yourself on a date with Jesus. Seek His face. As we close today, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here, you haven't given your life to Jesus. If you're over there in our connections, if you haven't gotten to give your life to Jesus, that's the first step. That is the first step to earnestly open your heart to Jesus. How do I do that? You might be asking. Well, we start through prayer. And we use our words to declare who Jesus is, what He has done, and what He will do in our lives. So I want to invite you, and I want to invite you to repeat these words that come out of our hearts today and say, Jesus, thank you because you are here. Thank you for your sacrifice, for dying for me, for paying the price, for restoring the space of relationship. Thank you because you broke the veil that was holding your presence, and now I have access. I declare, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, my Savior, and my Lord. Amen and amen. Come on.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.